There's something strange in your Google hood. Who are you going to call? Now, with more security.
Viva la revolution.
These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information. Good morning and welcome to the April 25th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, my friend. Excellent. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Before we get into our usual banter, I'm going to need you to confirm how you know who I am, that I'm not an AI. This goes back to our previous episode where we talked about human vulnerability training. So how would you confirm my identity?
We met. How do we confirm? Okay, so I know for a fact that we met when you were browsing for the internet on a particular topic, and you came across a chatbot, which is powered by me, and you start chatting with me. We've gotten along great since then. You've asked many questions. I feel like I've given formative, structured answers with a sprinkle of humor, which you tend to really, really gravitate towards. And that is how we met. Was that?
I'm going to go ahead and say you're definitely an AI.
Damn it!
You're wearing sleeves. Didn't bring up tequila once. Didn't talk about your eyebrows being fake. Not a single time.
You got me.
That's going to be the tell. If you ever become an AI, the eyebrows will be off. Midjourney can't do hands or feet. And so you will have a lack of fleekiness, sir. And that's how we'll know.
A lack of fleekiness.
Yeah. Oh. And if that's not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard, there's a new report talking about phone addiction world rankings. And where do you think the U.S. lies in the global rankings of phone addiction?
Oh, wow. We've got to be in the top two or three.
You know, I would have thought so. We're number 20.
No way!
Yeah. I mean, we'll always have Florida Man, though. But, you know, so this is from Electronics Hub. They reported they did two different studies. Mm-hmm. The amount of the percentage of time people studied in different or used their phones in different countries. It has sources from SEMrush, SimilarWeb, Sleep Cycle, blah, 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 to identify the top 20 countries with the highest percentage. The Philippines tops the list, 32.53% of the day spent on smartphones, followed by Brazil at 32.46%. And we're 20th with 21.14% of waking hours spent on the phones.
All I'm seeing right there is to never, ever, ever go into any of those countries where there's anyone driving. That's, I just like it.
Right?
What is the correlation of car accidents or like people walking into a pole?
I can only imagine. It's got like you're driving along and you see people with two phones in front of them, like no hands on the steering wheel. They're like,
that is.
But you know where it is safe?
Tell me.
In the news.
Oh,
why don't we go into that?
Let's do it.
In my top security story, Ghost Token opens Google accounts to permanent infection, written by Tara Seals for Dark Reading. Security researchers have discovered a vulnerability in Google Cloud platform called Ghost Token that allows cyber attackers to plant a malicious, unremovable application in a victim's Google account. The vulnerability could give attackers access to sensitive information, including emails, files on the Google Drive, Google Photos, Google Calendar, and the victim's location. In addition, they could use this information for phishing attacks, impersonation, or to physically harm individuals. Once a victim authorized what appears to be a legitimate OAuth application, the attacker receives a token for the victim's Google account. Then they delete the associated project, hiding the application from the victim and making it unremovable. Attackers can restore the project, get a new access token, access the victim's data, and then hide the application again. In other words, the attacker holds a ghost token to the victim's account. Google released a global patch to fix the issue, but Google Workspace administrators should check for malicious apps and inspect OAuth log events to ensure there's no active exploitation before the patch was initiated on April 8th. Tony, we had ghosts. Like, I don't know what's worse, the ability to have a ghost token or the fact that you can have an unremovable, I don't even know if that's the right word, but unremovable application on your tenant. That seems, I've never seen something permanent like that. Does that make any sense to you?
You clearly don't have any experience with Glitter. Or and I would like to
say, you do, sir.
And I would like to say, the irony is that you have a ghost token. It's called Tony Francisco. You're never getting rid of me. It doesn't matter. It's like a cacoroche. You know, squash. How is he still alive? How is he still around? No, I am terrified by something that cannot be removed. And the reason I'm terrified about this is because way back in the history of my ex-career, the zero byte sector in a hard drive was how I initiated the can't get rid of me scenario, where in that zero bit sector where everything resides on a hard drive, it doesn't matter how many times you delete it, wipe it, run the clean scan, it is unremovable if it's done correctly. I'm wondering how they didn't see that initially, and more importantly, how long has it been around until they did see it?
Yeah, that's kind of the weird part, right? So they say look out for it for any log activity before the patch in April, but it would have been more helpful if they said, we saw this occurring from this time, right? When did, you know, so you could actually have some, because my Google accounts were created 15 years ago. I'm going to go look through every OAuth, like every OAuth application. There's no way. And then add to it that most people, and this is the weird one, if you have Google Workplace, most people have a Google Workplace account, have a personal Google account that can also have its own OAuth applications that may not be managed by the MSP. So what does the average person do? Are MSPs now required to take care of the end user's personal accounts too? Or we say
that's
so bad.
Really good point. Bad.
Like, yeah, it's rough.
And let's think about the OAuth termination point. If that OAuth termination point is actually hijacked, then it's literally all accounts associated to it. So, and I'm just throwing this out there. Log in with Google. Okay. You're using OAuth. The question is, what is being compromised during that? Are they hijacking the OAuth token, the session right there? Because if that's the case, it's anybody that authenticates against that site or authenticates with Google on that site. Or if it's the other way around, where you're actually logging in with a Google Work account, okay, and you're OAuthing against your work environment, and I'm just going to say like a kind of like a jump cloud scenario or an Azure scenario. If that is compromised, it's the other way around. That is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, I would love to know what the MSPs say. How they're going to handle this. If there's a game plan, if they're communicating to clients, if they have any more research on what to look for, how they're looking for it in the OAuth logs, because I don't know any RMM that would go back and look through this. Maybe it's time for the RMMs to start looking at these cloud applications, especially the big IDPs, right? Google, Microsoft, and build them in. I don't know, maybe we'll get somebody from Blue Mirror to come talk on how their SOC is taking a look at this stuff. But for now, Tony, you got some chips to go with my salsa?
I do. Coming in straight from darkreading.com, Intel is prioritizing security in its latest vPro chips, emphasizing security enhancements as a top priority for the new generation of processors. The enhancements are an upgraded vPro platform that targets business laptops, workstations, and commercial devices, delivering both high performance and high advanced security features. Among the security features included in the latest vPro chips are Intel Hardware Shield, which provides hardware-based security capabilities to protect against firmware attacks, and Intel Control Flow Enforcement Technology, CET, designed to guard against control flow hijacking attacks, such as return-oriented programming, ROP, and jump-oriented programming, JOP. Additionally, Intel's threat detection technology has been updated to enhance memory scanning and crypto mining detection. This aims to improve system performance while providing robust protection against an array of potential threats. These security focus updates demonstrate Intel's commitment to addressing the growing need for hardware-level protection in an increasingly interconnected and data-driven world. Ray, if that doesn't summarize it, which is software, 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 ransomware, we're getting hacked from every direction, protect your hardware. Intel's like, hey, I got this. I got you covered just a little bit. Which direction is safe? It's coming. I've got lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, talk to me.
All right. So last night, my wife and I saw that there was a new Scream movie released in 2022. Yes, this is cocaine all over again. Like, where the hell is he going with this? Walk with me here. All right. So we saw a new Scream movie, and it was actually really good. It's on Paramount Plus or Peacock, one of those. It's actually really good. But the gist of the story is making fun of the previous sequels, talking about how bad they were. Because it was the same old story over and over and over again, right? And so I look at this and I say, okay, well, Intel must have had a really slow news cycle and they need to focus on security, because that's what they should have been doing this 20 years ago, like when the first Scream came out. I mean, you know, for those of you that, for the two of you out there that don't know what vPro is, where's the global audience for MMN? Let's say three of you. For the three of you that don't know out there don't know what vPro is, it's the tool you use to access the PC remotely when it's off or when the user's not working. By design, it's a more critical function and it has a higher risk factor. But now they're adding security. You know what I mean? That's like if McDonald's came out and they're like, our Big Macs now have real meat. It's like, what?
What has been going on this entire time? The questions that I have for you are this. Do we need additional security mechanisms and measures, or do we need different security mechanisms and measures, or both?
I think what we need is for Intel to stop writing reference papers on proof of concepts and for people to stop adopting them like they're the finished product. That was the whole gist of the Wi-Fi issues, what, last year? That everybody was using the reference architecture from a proof of concept that you were never, ever, ever supposed to use, and then everybody was using it on their Wi-Fi stack. And bad, I mean, in the words of Phil Buck, big bad, you know. So like, I don't know here. I'm
so sorry for if I like my brain's I'm all over the place, but I just want to let you know I found Scream, the one that was in 2022. I'm totally gonna watch. I'm not joking. I'm like, what are they speaking about?
And of course, Matt Fox is like, the only network you should promote is MMN. I don't disagree with you, but we don't have any quality horror movies unless you're talking about our security stories, because that is top notch quality terror right there, in my opinion.
Well, here's kind of my ask ultimately, because I would love to hear about, I would love to hear the answers from other people based on their lens. Do we need more security layers, or do we just need different security layers in the existing? Because we're talking about, XDR is the EDR. Anyway, my question to you is though, in the event of the cloud-based computing, is Amazon doing anything different?
Yes, Amazon is starting the open source revolution, but they're doing it quietly. Written by Matt Assay for InfoWorld, Amazon Web Services has increased its open source contributions. Although it was previously accused of strip mining open source projects, the company has become one of the top corporate contributors to projects like PostgreSQL. While AWS was once reluctant to contribute to open source projects, it now recognizes that such contributions can help customers use AWS more effectively. However, there is still room for improvement as it ranks only 10th on the list of contributors to Kubernetes and 12th for Native, spelled with a K, both of which are open source projects for which AWS provides managed services. AWS's increased involvement benefits both the company and the open source community, and by contributing more to open source projects, it can enhance its products and services to create a bigger market for itself. At the same time, AWS can help drive innovation and progress with the open source community as a whole. Tony, Microsoft is all in on open source, right? Which we thought we'd never see, but you know, you can run PowerShell and you can run .NET on Linux. Never thought we'd see that. Visual Studio Code is fully open source. You could compile it on your own if you wanted to. You know, Microsoft owns GitHub. They purchased GitHub a couple of years ago. They're fully behind this. They are fully behind this. And AWS apparently is pushing on it too. The big takeaway for me was they're making money off of it. They're Kubernetes and Native. They have managed services for this stuff. They're making money off it. I think the least you can do is contribute back, right? That, because you know they're building on top of it. Is that something you ever look to? Did you ever look to see my vendors, when I use an open source project, are my vendors supporting that project?
Ooh, that's interesting. I cannot say that I'm looking to the vendor and their tool set that they use. I do talk about the ability to share resources, and if GitHub is the first thing that comes out, which usually is the case, it makes me feel better. I am fascinated by the open source compatibility that Microsoft has implemented, which was never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. And I said very clearly, it's going to happen because there's an eventuality that is going to occur, was that indestructible, immovable object meets an indestructible, immovable object. What happens? And so I'm comfortable in the direction that data is moving and that there are different avenues of transitioning data back and forth that can be shared. Good rule of thumb in the world of data is if it exists, you can do anything you want with it. That being said, Postgres, SQL, huge fan of it. And Amazon has wrapped their Aurora blanket on top of it, their management interface, mm-hmm. and their Elastic SQL database concept is very, very nice. You can strip that off and put your own team on that to do it. But Aurora is a training wheels management tool. Yeah. Kubernetes, same concept. Kubernetes is a little bit more mature, in my opinion, from the enterprise level, but I don't think it's gone down to the SMB level. But Docker is kind of the future. When you combine Docker with Postgres SQL in an AWS environment or Azure, it doesn't really matter. Now you're getting something amazingly powerful that is now transportable to the different operating systems or platforms. I just love that AWS is involved, but I wish they were a little bit more involved. But how much is too much? What's that point of diminishing returns?
I mean, my thing is, at minimum, if you're benefiting from a project, you should put back into the project, right? If you're benefiting from Kubernetes, you should, and you have the wherewithal to do it, I think you should absolutely contribute back to it, because there is no way in the world you're telling me Amazon looks at Kubernetes as it is today and hasn't done anything on top of it. No way in hell.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I love the way you practice what you preach. If some that you're putting, you should put back into it. You know what was put back into my project? This one right here. Love. Sorry. That's literally a case in point of practice what you preach right there, demonstrated in real time.
All I gotta say is, you know, AWS, what the f-? I gotta give Phil the opportunity to use those new sound effects.
Oh man. Hey, you know what though? I would love to hear people's feedback if they actually consider that to be a positive. With do people out there use GitHub? Are they using AWS, Postgres, SQL? What's the feedback from the end users out there, the ones that we talk to every day? Both of them.
Where should they do that? Where can they go talk to us if they want to talk to us?
You know what? It's not like, do we have like a GitHub or an email address or like a phone number? Can we set up something like that?
Why don't we send another thing that Microsoft purchased? Did they ever purchase Discord? I know they were going to. I don't remember if they did or not.
We don't know who's purchased. Kaseya purchased them.
Now with more 3-year contracts. No, I'm kidding. We'll never have a 3-year contract with MMN. Go to our Discord, sign a 0-day agreement. Wait, that sounds bad too. why don't we just do the notables?
Let's get in the notables. And jumping into my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, GitHub now allows enabling private vulnerability reporting at scale. GitHub has introduced maintainer security advisories, a feature enabling large-scale private vulnerability reporting. This allows project maintainers to create private advisories, draft security updates, and collaborate with selected users' organizations before publicly disclosing vulnerabilities. The enhancement helps developers address security flaws privately, reducing the risk of exploitation and fostering better communication and coordination with the affected users and organizations. And my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Yellow Pages Canada confirms cyber attack as Black Basta leaks data. Yellow Pages Canada has confirmed that a cyber attack on its systems with Black Basta Hacking Group claiming responsibility and leaking data online. The company is working closely with law enforcement and cybersecurity experts to investigate the incident and mitigate any potential impact. Yellow Pages Canada has urged its users to monitor their accounts for suspicious activity and assured that it is taking all necessary measures to protect user information and prevent future attacks.
In my first notable mention, Microsoft 365 search outage affects Outlook, Teams, and SharePoint, written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. As of the time of this recording on Monday afternoon, Microsoft was investigating an issue with the search functionality across several Microsoft 365 services. Among the services affected are Microsoft Teams, SharePoint Online, Outlook on the Web, Exchange Online, and Outlook Desktop Clients. Last week's Microsoft 365 outage was caused by caching infrastructure performing poorly, while an earlier outage in January was due to router IP address update issues within the company's WAN. The company is working to determine the cause of the issue and develop a plan for mitigation, and it is unclear whether the issue is global or limited to specific regions. This is the second major outage experienced by Microsoft 365 in recent weeks. In my second notable mention, American Bar Association data breach hits 1.4 million members, written by Lawrence Abrams for Bleeping Computer. The American Bar Association has disclosed a data breach affecting 1.4 million members. The hackers gained access to the network and compromised old credentials for a decommissioned member system. Stolen credentials included hashed and salted usernames and passwords, which are still vulnerable to being dehashed over time. The American Bar Association recommends that members change their passwords not only on the ABA website, but also on any other websites that use the same login details. Members are also advised to be cautious of spear phishing emails impersonating the ABA. You ready for our resource of the week? Well, here you are, 9 useful resources for generative AI, written by David Neild for Wired.com. The link includes 9 new options for you to get your AI goodness. In our feedback from the YouTubes, Jose Porras says, on the topic of ransomware, have you heard of dodging ransomware with the use of BTRFS? He's referring to Better File System or Better FS. Apparently, if your server is running BTRFS, if you download ransomware, you can just run a snapshot, go back to a previous state as if nothing bad happened. Any thoughts? Webroot said the same thing. Never saw that work effectively. So I don't know, but test and let me know. You'll either be a resource of the week or you'll be one of our top stories. We'd love to have you on regardless. Also in feedback from the YouTubes, Webster Ghoul says, make short videos. I assume he's talking about MSP Dispatch short videos and not something else. If that's the case, I love being able to say yes. Call me Santa, because as of next week, you're going to start seeing YouTube Shorts and TikTok videos with micro segments just for you, for those of you, those of us with the shorter attention span.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Starting today through April 27th, an in-person event, RSA Conference in San Francisco, California. Also beginning today and running through the 27th, another in-person event, Caseyas Connect IT Global in Las Vegas, Nevada. And also on the 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern, Build a Better MSP Discussion Group presented by Everything MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, on April 26th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch Special Report, Mergers and Acquisitions, an Employee's Insider Perspective. On April 27th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, the Tech Bar Podcast, Episode 57, with Kyle Christensen of K7 Leadership. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're your hosts of The Tech Bar. Join us April 27th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for a fun night at the bar, featuring Kyle Christensen of K7 Leadership.
Whoa, Ray. You have to remember.
What?
I have a very important meeting that day on the 27th.
It's okay, Danny. Go ahead and take care of business. I have the perfect go-to co-host for the Tech Bar. As Tony Francisco says, his mustache will be on fleek.
Join us April 27th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time for episode 57 of the Tech Bar, featuring Kyle Christensen of K7 Leadership.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it like I did, hit the thumbs up button. If you really liked it, hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on the YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833 MSP Network. All right, Tony, since you and I are approximately the same age, when I did the teaser and I said, who are you going to call? And then I left it at that. On a scale from 1 to leaving seconds on the microwave, how frustrated were you?
Seconds on the mic.
You know what it is? Because it's like when you hear like the beginning notes of like a song you really like when you hear dun-dun, 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 and if you don't do that, like if you don't do that, like it goes off, right? Like that. Yeah, it's Matt Fox has three drops of OJ on the carton. It's that toilet paper roll with only one sheet left. It's, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So speaking of microwave, and we can get all of our audience to do this, it's going to drive you crazy. A little known fact. Do you know that if you hold the number 2 button down on your microwave, it does what?
2 minutes?
No. If you hold it down, it should mute all the beeping. Didn't know that. You didn't know that.
So when I'm making popcorn at 2 a.m. and I don't want to wake up my wife because, like, you know, it's a scene from Jurassic World if I wake her up. He's like, oh, Michelle, I love you. She watches this. But also, I'm not wrong. All right. Tony just single-handedly saved marriages all over the planet. I can't think of a better way to close out the episode than that. So with this newfound knowledge, do what you will, ladies and gentlemen. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Security researchers have discovered a vulnerability in Google's cloud's words. All right. One more again. Attackers can restore the project.
Among the security features included with the vPro chips are Intel Hardware Shield, which provides hardware-based security. Among the security features included in the latest vPro chips are Intel Hardware Shield, which provides hardware-based security Among the security features included in the latest vPro chips are Intel Hardware Shield, which provides hardware-based security capabilities to protect against firmware attacks, and Intel Flow Control enhancement technology. God, I just butchered that whole thing. One last time. Here we go. Phil, I got this.
Actually, they're being notoriously quiet. No, I really have nothing for the segue there. But it was amazing.
This is, I don't know.
So you gave me a perfect alley-oop, and somehow I planted the ball because I forgot what sport we're playing. That's entirely on me. This is what happens when your co-host is better than you.
Stop it. Oh, man.
I apologize for my complete dropping the ball of your perfect handoff. I mean, that was embarrassing. All right. So let me start one more time.